Esamen Aleph, six lines down from the top. Omer of Hamnuna. And this is another bracha in the list of brachas that we've been learning about, Birchas Ariyah. Haroa Uchlose, he sees many, many masses of people of Am Yisrael. Sheish Bam Shishim Ribui, they have 600,000 people. Omer, he should recite the bracha Baruch Chacham Harazin, blessed be you, the sage of the secrets. And the meaning of the secrets, one who knows the secret thoughts of every person, Rashi says. So there's 600,000 types of intellectual aptitude. And in the note he says, this is based on a braisa which Gemara is going to quote later on, Shishim Ribui, which is Sheish Meos Elef. And Razim, the word Razim here means Lashon Sod, Sheodeas Hasodos Vatzfunos Shebelev Kol Echad V'Echad. So this means that God has the inside scoop. He understands the depths of every single individual. The Torah was given to Shishim Ribui at Har Sinai, and it could be accepted and understood in every possible way. And God knows the secret thoughts of each person. However, if he sees Uchluse Ovdei Kochavim, he sees masses of idol worshippers, Omer, he should recite the Pasuk in Yirmiyah, Busha Imachem Ma'od Chofra Yoladetchem. Which means that Knisasam Asifasam is to Bushalahet Lachem, Shafshet Chilosam, Haisa Bigdula Besofratzchem, Tia Kimidbar Shmoma. Okay, so this is a concept in which that now you may have masses, but ultimately, there's going to be some sort of a busha imchem, an embarrassment at the end, achris hagoyim midbar, because your land will be like a midbar shmom. And again, this is a statement about the idol worshippers. Now the Gemara brings a braisa that supports Rav Hamnuna, Tan Rabbanan, Haroa Uchluse Yisrael, Mibarach, Chacham Harozim. He gives shevach to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and says, She'ein daitam domel lezeh lezeh, v'ein partzufeim domel lezeh. Each person has his own countenance. The countenance is indicative of the unique essence of the individual. And God knows the difference. He discerns the difference. He comprehends yodeh ma shebelev kol echad. And as we said earlier, he knows the secret thoughts of each person, despite the vast variety of personalities and minds. Each one is unique. Ben Zoma ra uchlosia. Ben Zoma saw a great multitude of Jews, and he was standing al gav mala beharabayis, when he stood on a madrega at the harabayis, because the harabayis is on an incline on the mountain, and on its top part, which is much higher, of course, he's able to see the Chelek HaTachton from the Elyon. And Omar, and he recited this bracha of Baruch Chacham Harozim. Be Omar. And he said the following. Baruch Shebaruch Kol Elu Lishamsheni. Now, what does that mean? He said, blessed are you who created all these things, or all these people, I guess, to serve me. And Rashi says, because they plow, charshim, vizorim, and they see the ground. And therefore, ani motzei hakol muchan lachil, I find everything that's prepared for eating. Shall yidei ribui aderos notzru kol advarmam sukanim biolam, since each person is different, is unique, he's an individual, therefore everything that has to be metukan, everything has to be established in this world, is going to is going to be so. And the Gemara now analyzes the question as to why Ben Zoma, what does he mean, Kulam Nivru L'Shamsho, that everything was created to serve him. And the Rambam seems to give his interpretation, his Hakdomel M'Shnayis, as far as the meaning of Ben Zoma's second bracha of Hakol Shamsheni, Kol Eilu Shamsheni, that God created the world so that people would attain knowledge of God and uplift themselves, purify their physical nature, but those who succeed are really rare and far between. So what's the purpose of the multitudes? You know, people in vast numbers who don't measure up to the ideal for which God, the goal for which God created the world. So the Rambam states that their purpose is to keep up and sustain those sublime elite individuals and to create some sort of community around them, to cultivate the land, to produce clothes, manufacture tools, etc., etc. Because if the men who are dedicating to study, to wisdom, to learning would have to do this, then they would need a lifetime, and that wouldn't suffice to master all the necessary skills. But these preoccupations would also leave them virtually no time to dedicate themselves to mitzvahs and to the study of Torah. Now, Ben Zoma was one of those rare individuals who achieved the goals for which the world was created. And therefore, he knew that this entire crowd of people, the multitudes, attained their purpose in creation by providing him with his needs. And in gratitude to Hashem, who supported him in that matter, he added a special bracha, Baruch Shebarach Kol Eilu L'Shamsheni. Hu Omer, and Ben Zoma said, Kama Yigios Yoga Odom Arishan Ad Shemotza Pas Lechol. Think about all the work that went in until Odom Arishan could produce one loaf of bread to eat. Chorash, Vizora, Vakotzar, Vimer. He plowed the land and planted, he reaped the harvest, he gathered the stalks together, he threshed the stalks. Dosh, Zora, he winnowed and removed the chaff. All this is to separate Ubarad Lahotzias Kolap Soles with Tochanas Agarinim, and what he was left with, these seeds, he would grind them into a flour. Hirkid, he would have to use a sieve to get rid of anything until he got fine flour, Velosh, and then he would add water, and he would knead the dough and then bake it. And then afterwards he would eat, and only afterwards he would be able to eat the bread. Vani, and I, Mashki, Bemotz, I wake up, and Kol Eilu, I find everything mitukanim, everything is done, everything is prepared, Lefanai. Kami Yigios, Yoga, Adam Arishon, look at all the work, he put on Shematzah, begged Lil Bosh, until he could find clothes to wear, Gozaz, he had to shear the wool off the back of the sheep, Velibain, then he had to whiten it, clean it, Nipates, he had to remove all the tangles, Tava, Viorag, he would spin the threads and then weave them together to make threads, Viorag, until finally he was able to create Achkach, Matzah Beged Lilbosh, she would have a garment to wear. Vani, Mashkim Motseis Kol Eilu, I find this, all the Malachas are done for me, Mitukanim, they're already pre-prepared, Lefane for me, and this is because of the multitudes of people that are dedicated to this malacha, and therefore I have to thank you, Hashem, for all that you've done for me. And basically he could have applied the same kind of reasoning for Shar Dvarim Hamitsuyim, everything that he found, there's a need for everything, but nothing's missing. It's all prepared. And therefore, in a sense, I'm very wealthy because I have everything I need. V'chol ha'umos shoktos ubos lepesach besi. The members of all the nations diligently come to the entrance of my house. Vani mashkim umotze kol elu mizumanim lefanai. And I find that everything, when I rise up in the morning, is there before me. Now the Yerushalmi has a girsa called Bali Umnios Mashkimu Marivim Ani Motse Kol Elu. Eina Nitzarch Litzroach Lasos Melocha Viatzmi El Kol Bali Umnios Osim Es Melocha Avuri. Lefize Nitzarch Lomer Shaya Osher. It goes without saying that he was wealthy. The Rambam writes that the Tachlis of all the Bria, as we said before, is Bishvil HaAdam HaMelumad HaPorush Nadir uploi lo yimtza ela yochid bi echad adoros, and the rest of creation besides this ish adam alumad parush nadir vepeli lo nivru el tzarech adam hazed l'shamsho, and that's the philosophy. So this Ben Zoma is not a bal gaiva chas v'shalom. He's coming to say that a person shouldn't begin to think that since the Tachlis of the Bria is for that one person who's dedicated to Torah and Chochmah non-stop, then why did God create all these multitudes of people? And the answer is because they function in a way that makes it feasible. They are conduits and they prepare everything in the world for the Adam Nifla. Hu Haya Omer, Ben Zoma used to say something else, Oreach Tov, Ma'u Omer, if he's a good guest with a good eye and he appreciates, Kamatirchos Tarach Balabais Bishvili, how much trouble did my host go on my behalf? Kama Basar Hevi Lefanai, he gave me meat, he prepared meat. Kama Yayin Hevi Lefanai, he gave me wine, he prepared for me to drink. Kama Gluskos, wonderful loaves of bread, Hevi Lefanai brought for me. Kol Mashitarch Lotarches Ela Bishvili. That's the attitude, as if to say that what he did and what he prepared was for me. And that's the way a host should be mashabeach, he should praise, that's his attitude towards the host. That's the guest should have that attitude towards the host, that he did so much tircha for me. Again, he doesn't have to say this out loud, it's not a matter of befarhesia. This shevach is something he could say b'tzina. He doesn't want to say it out loud, the Gemara says, in Erchin, because that's going to bring other people to come here. He doesn't want to impose other people on this host. Avol Oreach Rama Hu Omer, if he has an evil eye, Ma Torach, Torach Bal Bai Zeh, Pas Achas Achalti. You know, he sees everything in a stingy light. It was meager. It was one loaf of bread that I ate. And Chaticha Achas Shal Basar Achalti. I ate one sliver of meat. Kos Echad Yain Shasis. I got to drink only one cup of wine, and here's the punchline: Kol atorach shetorach balabai zelo torach ela bishvil ishto banav. You know, I was the tag along, but all the work that he did, and all the tircha he put in, all the time and energy invested, was really for his family, not for me. And what does the pasuk say to describe an oreach tov? An oreach tov is described here as pasuk in Iyov, Zechar ki tazgi fa'olo asher shoreru anoshim. Complicated, he says, remember so that you will aggrandize his work that men see. And this pasuk is a musashmuz, that people should recall the acts of God that are revealed to man, and they will be moved to extol and praise all these manifestations of God's divine providence. And the Gemara understands this pasuk as instructing a guest to recall and praise the efforts the host made on his behalf. Now Gemara also interprets this verse as referring to God's providence, Tashkacha Pratis, that one must recognize the role of Hashem in providing his needs through the agency of other people. So this is what the oreach, this is what the guest should have in mind. And again, in a family situation, a husband could see himself as a guest and appreciate all the effort that his wife put in, and ultimately to appreciate HaKadosh Baruch Hu And that's what this pasuk in Iyov is really all about. So that this pasuk is really fulfilled and brought to reality by the guest who's a good guest. And what about Oreach Ra? What pasuk can we apply to him? And we're going to see again a pasuk in Iyov. I just want to see, is it the same pasuk? One second, where is this? The first pasuk was in Iyov Perek Lamed Vav, now we're in Perek Lamed Zayin. And the pasuk reads, Lachen yireuhu anashim lo yire kol chachmei lev. People fear him, he does not see any of the wise hearted. Now, the simple pshat in the pasuk is that God and man, as they view each other, man could only be overwhelmed by awe, but God looking upon man, even the wisest of us, would see nothing to impress him. But here we're going to interpret it as referring to a guest who fails to appreciate the efforts of his benevolent host. The kevan shu oreach ra, because he is a bad guest, eino makir b'tovas ma'archi, has no appreciation, no gratitude, is therefore yireyem mimenu b'nei odom v'odom zeh lo yiyeh lo bonim chachomim. People are afraid of him because he's not appreciative, he's kind of gruff, he's kind of rough, and he won't be zocha to have children who are talmidei chachomim. And all this is from Ben Zoma, and it's a continuation of what he said earlier, that I wake up in the morning, I don't have to do any tirch, everything is prepared for me, I appreciate all the effort of all the people who brought me to this point where I could eat the bread and eat the meat, and I could wear the clothes and so forth and so on. And if a person goes in that derech, if he constantly realizes that people around him are doing things for him, then he will certainly be like this Oreach Tov who appreciates the host. Now, in Sefer Shmuel, we have a pasuk that starts the following. I'll read the whole pasuk. V'David ben Ish Ephrati u'shmo Yishai. David is the son of Yishai. Ha'ish b'mei shol zokin ba'anoshim. And the man in the days of Saul was old and he came with men. What does this mean? Omar Rava, Itema Rav Zvid, others say it was Itema, some say it was Rav Oshia. The Ish is Yishai Avi David. He's a very important person. And Yotza, he goes out to war, to battle, Be'uchlusia. He was the officer in charge of 600,000 people, Shishim Ribui. V'nichnas, when he came from the Milchama Be'uchlusia, V'darash Be'uchlusia. And he darshened in Torah in front of 600,000 people. So this is, according to this interpretation, he went out to battle. And when Yishai went to and from the battlefield, he was accompanied by a large crowd. And that's called Ba Ba'anoshim. And yet, despite his responsibilities, he taught Torah. Omar Ula Naktinon. We hold that what we have a tradition, She'ein Uchlusia Bibavel. This concept of a large multitude doesn't apply to Bavel. And therefore, we would not make this bracha Chacham HaRazim in Bavel. And the Gemara explains, Tana Ein Uchlusia Pchusa Mishishim Ribui. Now, as far as Bavel is concerned, the Kesef Mishnah's bracha says that this blessing is recited on seeing a multitude in Eretz Yisrael, but it's not appropriate to make the blessing upon a large number of Jews in Chutz Laaretz, in the Golos. And the Marsha says that this pasuk is completely superfluous, and we darshan what it says here. Ve'ha'ish, That's the Ish Milchama ben Aruso, Zokein. He was Kone Chochmoso, Bezeknusa, and he was surrounded by people both during his youth and in his older age. And the Rambam paskins that only in Eretz Yisrael we recite the Brach of Chochma Rozim, and the Kesavishtis says this is based on Ulo She'ein Uchlusia Bebovel. Ein Mevorchim Birchas Chochma Rozim Bebovel Af Im Yirasham Shishim Ribu. Tanu Rabbanu, we learned it a Braisa. Haroe Chachme Yisrael Omer, the Brach that's appropriate when he sees the sages of Israel is, even if he sees one sage of the sages of Israel, Omer, Baruch Shecholak Chochmaso Lireov, as if to say, Cholak, God is giving this Talmud Chocham a piece of his own Chochmah, his with a capital H. That's Cholak mi Chochmaso Lireov for those who fear him. Not Nosan, because in Chachmeov de Chochom, the Baruch is Baruch Shenosan mi Chochmah Lireov. And Nosan indicates that it's something external to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Chachma, but when it comes to a Chacham b'Yisrael, it's Cholak. He apportions some of his own wisdom to those who fear him. And what this means is that the Torah is a portion of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's not, that's Cholak. And the Talmud Chacham is called those who fear him, because fear of God is a necessary prerequisite in Ein Yira and Ein Torah. So we need Yira before Torah. As far as the scholars of secular disciplines, we're not talking about religion or anything like that, then the bracha is Baruch Shenosan Michachmaso Librioso. Another text has Lebos of Adam. In fact, this Shevach that we thank Hashem, for some reason, is because God appoints kings. Shematzinu Sha'af HaPosuk Shivcho Al Kach Vamisnase L'chol Rosh. And it doesn't only mean kings, it means those who are appointed in charge of different dimensions. Oh, I'm sorry, I forgot to read the one line. I don't know if you follow this. Haroa Malchei Yisrael Baruch Shecholak Mikvodo Lirev Malchei Ovdei Kachom Omer Baruch Shenosan Mikvodo Librioso. So as far as Malchei Yisrael, we have this special bracha, and the question is, what kind of Malchei Yisrael? Are they tzaddikim or Chas Shom Rishoyim? So it seems that it says here, Haroa Malchei Yisrael Omer Baruch Shecholak Mikvodo Liareov, which sounds like we're saying that we can only recite this bracha on Malchei Yisrael Tzadikim, not on Malchei Yisrael Rishoyim. However, the Rashash claims that the word Yareov here has a broader meaning. It doesn't mean that this king himself is a Yorei Shamayim. It means that his lineage, his forefathers, his Avoseim were Tzadikim, and that's enough to say the Brach even for Malchei Yisrael who are not Tzadikim, Baruch Shecholak Mikvodo Liareov. And then we said before the name of the Marsha that we want to thank Hashem for appointing kings, and that's a Shevach HaKadosh Baruch Hu because of the Pasuk in the Reayom Me'amisase L'chol L'Rosh. Om Rab Yochanan Li'olim Yishtadol Odom L'Rutz L'Kras Malchei Yisrael. He should run to greet Malchei Yisrael. Below L'Kras Malchei Yisrael B'Vad, not only should be running to greet the kings of Israel, but Elafilu L'Kras Malchei Ovdei Kochavim to meet the kings of idolatrous nations. Shem Yizkeh for the Zoche to Olam Abov Yiras Kvoda Shel Melech HaMashiach. Then Yavchin Bein Malchi Yisrael Malchi Ovdei Kochavim. He'll be able to discern the difference between the glory of the kings of Israel and the glory of the kings of the idolatrous nation. V'yirakam akovod not le'schara mitzvos. He'll see the great glory of those who will receive rewards for the mitzvos. And that glory is merubi yoser, by far exceeds the kovod, the glory of the malchei umas olam, the kings of the nations of the world. And therefore, Rak mipnei tam zelor, it's the cross song. He says he should run to greet them just to be able to discern between that glory and this glory. But he doesn't have to run in order to make the bracha. If he doesn't see them, then he doesn't have any chiv to make the bracha. He doesn't have to run after them in order to see them. But if he's greeting them, then let him take a ritza and run to greet them because of this phenomenon of lahavchim mimalchi Yisrael. Rav Sheshes Saginor Hava, Rav Sheshes was blind. Ka'ozli kuli amalik buli ape malka. Everyone was going to greet the king. V'kom ozel badai Rav Sheshes. Rav Sheshes stood up and he went with them, he accompanied them. Ashkeche Ahut Stuki. And one of the Tzukis found him. And Amalei the Tzuki says to Rav Sheshes, it sort of speaks to him, B'derech Moshal, Chatzvei Lenara, the pitchers, that means the Kadim, which are broken, do they go to the river? Now, they can't carry water, they're broken. And he gives him another mashal. He says, "Kigane laya." Chavtze linara, chatzve linara. Hakar meshleim holchim linar lishov mayim. So that's chatzve, are the perfect pitchers, not the broken ones. But kiganve laya, but the broken ones, where are they going? You're blind, so what are you going to see? You can't see the king, so why are you going to greet him? Omalei Rav Sheshes answered, Tochazi diodana tfeminoch. I'm going to show you that I know more about the king than you know, even though you're capable of seeing and I'm not. Chalef gunda, the first group of people, or troop of people, kamais of the first, kikav avsha, when they pass by, so the first, this first group or troop of people pass by of the Malavi HaMelech, those who are part of the king's entourage, is Toch Kidei Hashmas Rash HaMola. There was a loud noise of the people, and the Tzuki thought that the Melech is coming. Omalei Ahut Tzuki, so the Tzuki turns to Rav Sheshes, says, Asa Malka, now the king is coming. So Rav Sheshes says, low cost, he's not coming. Cholof Gunda Tinyana, now the second troop passes by, Kika Avsha, and again there's a loud, loud noise of this second group of those who were meant to escort the king. Omalei Ahut Tzuki, Hashta Kasi Malka, now the king is coming. Omalei Rav Sheshes, low cost, Malka, he's not coming. Cholef Tilisai Kika Shaska, and the third group of the escorts of the king came, and there was no rash. Omalei Rav Sheshes, Rav Sheshes Tzuki Vade Hashta Asi Malka, now the king is coming. Omalei Ahut Tzuki, he turns to Rav Sheshes, Mino Lecha, how do you know such a thing? Omalei De Malchusa De Ara Kein Malchusa De Rekia, because the kingship and all the protocol for the king, the royalty, down here on earth is a reflection, it's an image of the Malchus Dirakia, the royalty of heaven. And therefore I knew the king would come when it would grow quiet after three troops passed by. And how is that so? Tichsiv, the Pasuk says, by Eliyahu HaNavi, Melachim Aleph, when Hashem appeared to him, the glory of God appeared to him. Tse v'yamadeta bahar, go out and stand on the mountain, lifnei Hashem, before God. V'hine Hashem over, and behold, Hashem is passing. V'ruach gedola v'chazak, mefarek harim, mishaber sloim lifnei Hashem. There's a powerful wind which smashing mountains, breaking rocks, that goes before God. Lo baruch Hashem, lo baruach Hashem. Hashem was not in the wind. V'achar ruach rash, after the loud wind, maybe it's an earthquake or so. Lo barash Hashem. V'achar rash eish, lo baish Hashem. V'achar eish kol dmama dako. So we have here three waves, so to speak. We have the wave of the wind, then we have the wave of the fire, and then, just one second, I'm missing one, let's go through it again. So first he has the wind that is smashing the mountains and breaking rocks. Then we have a rash, we have a great rash, which is an earthquake. And then finally we have the rash after the esh, after the fire. And in each case we say Hashem is not there. He's not in this rash, he's not in that rash, he's not in this ruach, he's not in this esh. But after the esh, after this third wave, kol dmama daka, there's a thin, still, silent kind of sound. Very, very low, low sound. Elio knew through this prophecy that the glory of Shechita was not present neither in the wind nor in the earthquake nor in the fire, but rather the glory of God, the Shechina, would pass only when he heard the still thin sound. And when the Pasuk mentions a wind, it refers to a troop of angels of Malachi Asharis that would cause the winds to blow. And the same applies to the verse mentioning the earthquake and the fire. These are all indicative of the Malachim. And he points out here that Af Haruach Varash Veishara Lio Yumachnos Shel Malachim Kmo Shahoye Tzal HaMelech Shebo Sholosh Kitos. And these three waves of Ruach, Rash, and Eish, they parallel the three Kitos that Rav Sheshes knew were passing by the entourage of the king. The Ruach was the Machne Malchei Ruach, the Rash was the Machne Malchei Zeah, and the Eish was the Machne, was the Malachim of Malachei Eish. So here's where Rav Sheshes, based on his understanding of this pasuk in Malachim and Elio Anovi's prophecy, he outsmarted the Tztuki. And Kiyasa Malka, the end of the story is when the Melech finally passed, this pasuk Rav Sheshes Kamavarech Le, he recited the bracha Shenasa Michvodo Libriosov Amale Ahut Tztuki Lemandelo Chazes Le Kamavarches. Are you making a bracha for someone that you can't even see? At the end of the story, the Gemara asks, Sumai Havi Aleda Hu Tztuki, what was the ultimate destiny of this Tztuki who was so gruff to Rav Sheshes? You know, you're blind, what are you doing here? Ika Diyami, according to one version, Chavroi, his friends, I don't know what kind of friends they were, but Kachlinu Li'ene, they painted his eye in a cosmetic way, which is a euphemism for the fact that they took out his eyes. V'ikod Diamri, Rav Sheshes Nasan Einav Bo, Rav Sheshes put his whammy in his eyes in a vinasa, and he turned into a gal, Shalatzomis, he died. And it looked like he had died from much, much earlier in time, Kvar Nirkav Besorov V'Nofal, and his body decomposed almost immediately, and he fell. Let's just see if we have an answer to the question of how the... I see. The Marsha says that Chal is something that does have a therapeutic property to it. But here in our Gemara it says kachlinhu, which means that they gouged out his eyes. So I guess this was a kind of mida keneged mida, because he made fun of Rav Sheshes, who was blind. Now, the Marsha says, which I'm not sure exactly where he knows this from, that even though Rav Sheshes was blind, but Nasalo Nesvenis Pakeach, I guess just at that moment in time, God gave him miraculously sight, the power of sight, Kadesh Yitain Einov Bo, so he could look at this Stuki and bring him down. Alternatively, the Marsha suggests that maybe he didn't actually look at the Tzduki, but he cursed him, and that's how the Tzduki became a Gal Shalat Somos. Rav Shila Nagdela Hu Garva Debol Mitzris. Rav Shila gave lashes, Malkus, to a person who had a cohabitation with an Egyptian woman, because Bias Nochris is Chayav Makas Mardus. It could be also in some cases it's a violation of a Doraisa, and it's Makas Doraisa. And the Marsha interprets that this Malkus was given as part of Tochacha. Azal Ochel Be Kurtze Be Malka. So this person went to the royal palace and he slandered against Rav Shilo. This was his way of doing revenge. And Malshinus is called Achilas Kurtza, because it was them minog that from the tongue, slander, me Malshin Ochel Be Beis HaMakabalas Dvar Veza Dvar Ma, when the slanderer comes to bring the slander, they feed him a little something in the house, and this is meant to be mechazik his dvar shadvar mekuyom v'yam dola emes achilus unikres achilus kurtzin miloshon koreitz b'einov shekain derech olchei rochil likrotz b'neihem. So this is a long discussion here about the phrase kurtzi b'malka. Omar, so what did he tell this person who had a relationship with the Mitzri, and he was given lashes by Rav Shila? What did he tell the king or the members of the king's court? He said to them, Ika Chad Gavra B'Yudai, there's a Jew, the Kadayin Dina below Harmona de Malka, and he administers justice, he serves as a judge and presides over a court without the authority of the king. So now we're talking at the time of Bavel, Golas Bavel, and the Jews were controlled by the Persian government, and this man has no official permission to do what he's doing. Shadar Alei Pristaka. So the Melech sends an emissary, Sheyomel Rav Shisha Lova Lemishpat, that Rav Shila has to come in front of the king's court for justice, for a court case against him. Ki asa, when Rav Shila came for justice, Amri Lei, the judges said to him, "My taimon egarte lahai, why did you give malchus to this person?" Omalahu, Rav Shila responded, "Ba al chamorta, he had a relationship with a donkey." Amr Lay, the Shoftim said, Islach Sadi, do you have witnesses to testify that this is so? Amr Lahu, Rav Shilo, I do. Os Elio Anovi came, Idme Lay Ki Inshi, he appeared as a human being, Vi Asid, and he testified against this person that he had a relationship with a donkey. Amri Lei. So the Shoftim turned to Rav Shilo, Ihochi, if this man had a relationship with a donkey, bar ktolehu, he really has to die. So why didn't you kill him? Why did you just beat him up? Now it's interesting because here he, Rav Shilo, is being summoned to justice because he had no right to administer justice, to preside over the court without the king's permission. And nevertheless, they were asking him that just like you meted out lashes to this person without the permission, now they're saying you should have gone a step further and had him put to death without permission. That's one interpretation. The Marsha offers another interpretation, that what the Shoftim said to Rav Shilo was, you should have come to get the official permission from the king and then put him to death. Omar Lahu, so Rav Shilo responds to them, Anan, we Jews, miyoma de golian and mearin, from the day that we were sent into exile from our land, we don't have reshus to kill anyone, even if we get the permission from the official seal of the government. Adma'aini beit dina, so the shoftim of the king were looking into this case, and just one second, my deba'isun avidabe, atun my deba'isun avidabe, you can decide what you want to do. And they were looking into the case. Pasach Rav Shila, he opened up and he gave praise to God. The Omer, and he recited the Pasuk L'Chashem HaGdula V'Agvura Teferes V'Anesim V'Hod Ki Chobash Mayim V'Retz L'Chashem HaMamlecha V'Mesase L'Chol Rosh. The Amri Le, and the Shoftim asked him, Aika Amri, what are you reciting here? Omer Lehu, Rav Sheshet says, Hachi Ka'imna Ka'amina, this is what I said, Brich Rachmana Baruch Hashem D'Yoev Malchusa Bi'ara, that he created malchus, he created kingship in the land, ke'ein malchus derekiel, like the malchus, that like the royalty up in Shamayim, the divine royalty. V'yav lechu shultana v'rachmei dina, and he gave you control, and you as judges love to do justice. Amru, so the judges were very impressed. They said, Chaviv ale yikar de malchusa kuli hai, kol kach chaviv olav kvod ha-shilton, he has such great respect for the government and its judiciary, imkein roi hu lekabel reshus ladun, we should give him granted permission to judge. Yoiv le kulfa, they gave him a makel, a staff, for Lirdos is Mishu Rotzel Hanish, to hit somebody if he wants to punish him. Yomale Dun Dina, you have Rishus to judge. Kiavi Nofik, when Rav Shilo went out of the court, Omale Ahu Gavra, that person that Rav Shilo had given lashes to, Ovid Rachmana Nisa Lashakore Hachi, does God do miracles to such liars that you lied and said that I had a be'ilah with a donkey? I had a be'ilah with a shiksa, but not with a donkey. And you had a miracle that Eliyahu came to save you. Amar Lei, Rav Shilo said to him, Rasha, you're an evildoer. Lav chamori ikru, don't you know that the goyim are called chamorim? Dichsiv, the pasuk says in Yechezkel, Asher besar chamorim besorom, that the flesh of the donkeys is the flesh of the Mitzrim, of the Egyptians. So let me just read the pasuk here. I'm not finding the pasuk right now. Maybe we'll find it later, because I think it says also Zirma Susim Zirmasam. Yechezkel Chav Gimel Chav. Let's see if we can find the pasuk here. Yechezkel. How come I'm not finding it here? Okay, Akasha Vamaisa. Anyway, now, Rav Shilo Chazia, he sees that this individual, the Ka'ozil, Lememer Lahu de Karinu Chamre, that he's going back to the judges to tell the judges that he called them Chamorim, he called them donkeys. Omar, Rav Shilo said, hi, this person Rodefu, he is now a Rodef, he's trying to put me into danger. Vatora Omrim Baal Lahargo Hashkim Lahargo. You have to defend yourself and kill someone who's threatening your life. Is Machye Bekulfa of a Katle. He took the makel that was given to him by the Shoftim and he killed this individual who was about to threaten the life of Rav Shilo. The Marsha points out here that there's an answer to what the Shoftim asked him, why he gave Malchus without the Rishus of the Melech. And after all, his din, his judgment would have been Hariga. And the answer is, Ein lanu Rishus Lahargo. And why did you give him Malchus? He says, that wasn't because of din, that was only Tochacha, and that was not din. And therefore, if it was only Begetter Tochacha, it doesn't need the Rishus of the Melech. Now, this principle called Habo Lahargo Hashkem Lahargo is derived from a pasuk in Parshas Mishpatim, which we're going to read in Yitzchem in a few days. Im v'machteres yimotze aganov v'huka v'meis ein lo domim. That somebody breaks into your house, that's called bo v'machteres. If you kill him, you're potter. Why? Because he has no dam. And the reason for that is because the ganov is armed when he breaks in stealthily. He burrows his way in, and he knows that if the Baal Bais will stand up against him and confront him, he, the Baal Machteres, has every intention to kill the Baal Bais. He comes as an armed thief, and therefore he's Habola Hargacha. A person has a right to stand up and defend himself. Now, the Rivash claims that Rabbi Shilo must have given a warning to this individual before he killed him, and the individual just completely scoffed and did not accept the warning. So the Mishnah Melech says there's no reason why Rav Shilo had to give a warning, because the Nirdaf himself doesn't have to give a warning to the Rodef. The halach is that someone else other than the Nirdaf has to give a warning, but not the Nirdaf himself. Omar, Rav Shilo said, Hol vis avi li nisa b'hai kra, since a miracle occurred to me because I said this pasuk l'cha Hashem agdula. He didn't say this about the original ness that Eliyahu came to testify, because that ness was earlier than when he read this pasuk. But perhaps he was saying that if he had read this pasuk from the get-go, maybe they wouldn't have even brought him to din, to justice. Darshinole, now I want to interpret this pasuk. L'cha Hashem agdula, what is this greatness of God? V'maisa b'reishis, the creation of the world. V'cheinu omer, it says regarding b'reishis, the creation of the world. Ose gedolos adin cheker. So it's the same idea as l'cha Hashem agdula. These are gedolos, and they're beyond human comprehension. V'agvura zu yitzias mitzrayim, shenemar, v'yar yisrael seyod agdola, sherosa shem mitzrayim atif'eres, zo chama ulevana, she'omdu lo liyoshua. The great glory is the moment that everything froze for Yehoshua. The Shemesh and Chama Levana Omdulo. Which means that the day did not end, Lo Shaka Shemesh, the Yireach didn't show until he got enough time to destroy the Amorites. Shenemar, as it says in Sefer Yehoshua, Vayidom Hashemesh V'yoreach Amod. which means literally that the sun and the moon, the sun stood still, and the moon stopped in its place. And this is based on a pasuk in Yeshayahu. The miracle gave Yeshua fame and splendor, that's called Tiferes, in all of the world. And basically, he was able to defeat the enemy. Vanetzach zuma palosa shel Romi. This is the ultimate destruction, the fall of Rome. V'chenu Omer, and we find regarding the Mapola of Rome in Yeshayahu HaNavi, he says, V'yez nitzcham al begodai, their lifeblood, their triumph spurted out on my garments. And here we're talking about a description of Hashem's revenge against Edom. These are the antecedents of Rome. For their persecution of God's people, God is depicted as a warrior returning from victorious battle. And the word Netzach, which means triumph, is used to denote blood, because blood gives a person energy and strength. So the Gemara's interpretation is that Netzach means that God will terminate Rome's state of triumph. And this verse is meant to show that this conquest will manifest God's own characteristic of Netzach, of triumph, in the sense that this attribute is needed to overcome parallel attributes in the enemy. Ve'ahod zumelchemes nachle Arnon. This is a reference to the battle at the canyons of Arnon, which we had a whole sugi about that earlier, when they tried to defeat us by digging into the caves of the mountains of both sides. They would ambush us. Shenemar al ken ye'omer b'sefer milchames Hashem es vav b'sufa es hanacholim nachla. It's written in the book of the wars of Hashem, the gift, the miraculous deliverance at the sea of reeds, that's the reference to Yam Suf, and of course at the canyons of Arnon, the Es HaNecholim Arnon. Ki chol b'shemayim v'artzu melchemes Sisra. Now we're talking about the battle against Sisra. Shenemar, how do we see a connection between Ki chol b'shemayim v'artzu and the battle against Sisra? Shenemar, Pasuk says, and Shoftim in Hashamayim Nilchamu, Hakochavim Mimasilosam, which means that from the heavens they fought, the stars from their courses, they fought against Sisra. And this Pasuk in Shoftim, God makes the stars shine fiercely on Sisra's arm-clad warriors. They enter into the brook of Kishon to cool off from the heavy sun. And they were swept away by the brook's current. And this is in the Pasuk. We see that Hashem used forces of heaven in defeating Sisra. L'cha Hashem ha-mamlocha zo milchemes Amalek. This is the nation of Amalek, the first attack against Israel after the Yetzias Mitzrayim. And God promised He would wage war against Amalek until its memory would be erased from the face of the earth. And Nemar ba kisei malchus, when it says l'cha Hashem ha-mamlocha, there's a kisei malchus here in the defeat of Amalek. V'cheinu omer ki yad al keis ka milchamol Hashem b'Amalek midar dar. So the case here, keis ka, means the kisei malchus v'akadosh baruch hu, the throne, the king of kings. And through the milchamas Hashem b'Amalek, God's throne Yis'ale kisei malchuso. And we'll take a look here at the interpretation of the Achronim. They say, Boli lochi b'Yisroel k'shai v'midbar nitzeach oso Yeshua defeated Amalek v'kevich yizdavik Yisroel korum l'chol umos chofetz HaKadosh Baruch Hu l'mchoso. And because this was the first nation of all the nations to attack Israel, God wanted to destroy him, and God made a promise that He would destroy him. Melchama l'Hashem ba'amolik midar dar. And the word kes or kisei is indicative of malchus. And Rashi al Torah says, "Hurma yado shal Kodesh Baruch Hu, God's arm, Kaviyochu, was lifted up, lishava bekiso, and he would grab onto the throne of glory, and he would take a shvua, and in this oath he would say that there'll be a melchama olamis ba'molek." And of course, the case is written mole, it's not complete, because Kaviyochel Hashem's name is not Sholem, and Kiso Sholem, and Shmo Sholem, and Shayim Cheshmo, Sholem Molech. Vamisnase, Zo Melchemes Gog Umogog. Vechenu Omer, Hinini Elecha, Gog Nisi Rosh Meshech Vesuval. We should darshan this pasuk of Hamisnase with regard to Gog Nasi, Loshen Nasius, that we're talking about someone who's a Nasi, that's Gog, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yisnase Olav, God will even be more lofty and high, Liosid Lovo, and will reveal that there is no Nasius except for the divine Nasius. The rest is just a poor imitation. Let's just see if we can interpret this pasuk. Hamitznase, the war of Gog Magog. Gog Nisi Rosh Meshech V'Tuval. God says, "I am against you, Gog, the sovereign leader of Meshech and Tuval." Now, the stages of we'll call it the period of time of Mashiach. Gog is the king of Magog. He's going to launch an attack on Eretz Yisrael. The Rambam defines this in Hilchos Melachim Perek Yud Beis. The ultimate annihilation that God will inflict on these forces will elevate God's name throughout the world, and all these events are described in Yechezkel, Zechariah, Yoel, and Daniel. Gog is depicted as a sovereign, and the divine attribute of Nasius of Sovereignty will become manifest through overcoming Gog. Alternatively, Vamesnase, which means lifted or exalted, may be interpreted as referring to the defeat of Gog's army. The divine name will then be thoroughly exalted. And that's what the Pasuk says in Yechezkel, Viskadalti, Viskadashti, Vinodati, Li'enei Agoyim Rabim, V'yodu Ki Eli Hashem, I'll be exalted and sanctified, I'll become known in the eyes of many nations, and they shall know that I am Hashem. L'chol l'rosh. Omer Rabchanon bar Ravam Rab Yochanan. What is Hashem? Misnase l'chol hakom li'os l'rosh. Klomer hua gozer umamido l'rosh. L'chol l'rosh means God is in charge of determining who will be uplifted and will get the leadership role. Afilu Reshgar Gisa, even someone who was appointed as the head of all the diggers, they had a group of diggers that used to dig boros in order to fill up water with them and use them for irrigation. Even the head of these diggers is Min HaShamayim Manule. He has the minui, he was appointed, so Min HaShamayim. And the Gemara says, "V'masnisa tana mishmei de Rabbi Akiva." We found a brayse in the name of Rabbi Akiva who darshens the pasuk in a different way. L'cha Hashem agdula zu kriyas yamsuf, hagvura zu makas bechoros, hateferes zu matan Torah, hanetzach zu Yerushalayim, ve'ahod zu beis hamigdash. Okay, we'll stop here, and Amir Tzashem, in tomorrow's shir, will begin Daf Nun Ches Amid Beis.